Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's welcome in a friend of the show, the former USC football player, played in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks, went to a few Pro Bowls, and was a part of that Seahawks team that did lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. And that's Lofa Tatupu here with us on the show. Lofa, how you been, my friend?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I like that that intro music. It had me ready, feeling like I was running out the tunnel again.
Well, what would you used to do before games to pump you up? Did you have to do anything like extra special?
Every week was different, you know, and it wasn't based on the opponent. It was just, as a human going through emotions, you know, you had some nerves rattling for games and some not, but you just had to keep that balance. And so my pregame music was really the key to my success in finding consistency.
What were the pregame songs that you would listen to? Give me like one or two.
Well, so if it was like a game that I was, you know, lacking a little energy, I was going to go with Tupac, you know, a little, you know, Can't See Me. It's got a great beat in it. I think George Clinton's in it, too. It goes hard. So that would get me, you know, going. Sometimes I listen to some rock and roll. But then, like, on games where I was too amped up that I had to come down a little bit just to – because you always want to be, just like I said, balanced and even keel, right? Not too up and not too down. Be in the moment. So I would have to listen to some reggae, some Stephen Marley, some Colly Buds, you know, things of that nature.
Was there anything that you would listen to that if you admitted it publicly that you'd be embarrassed about? Like, you weren't listening to Broadway tunes or something, like, very interesting before a game, right?
No, nothing like that. I did always love, like, just soundtracks to movies that have, you know, a lot of, you know, drums or bass in it. I mean, that was, I don't know, almost felt like tribal and, you know, just, you know, very, you know, intense. So, you know, how they always have those, you know, really climactic scenes with these loud drums and you know, any you know, war movie or like Braveheart or something, you know, any scene like that, that's where you try to get in that mindset, like, you know, time to go, you know, go to battle.
Something I could see you listening to, like, Mulan before the game, like a little let's get down to business to defeat the Huns and then get ready to go out to battle. For some reason, that's what just came across my mind, Lofa.
Hey, man, whatever gets you into the zone, man, that's what you got to do.
Lofa Tatupu here with us. You know, what I'm about to say, it seems so crazy that USC has finally ended their disassociation with Reggie Bush. The whole thing to me that you have to disassociate with the player when an infraction in an antiquated system is committed is just, like, absolutely absurd. But to finally see that, and now Reggie Bush going to be embraced again by the USC community and the school, what does that mean to you as a former teammate of his?
I mean, yo, man, Reggie helped put us on the map. He is USC. When you know, that five, the number five jersey, we want to see that back. You know, if you're going to bring him back, you bring him all the way back. Heisman, back in Heritage Hall, everything. I mean, hell, throw a parade, too, because, I mean, that guy, he did it all for us. And, you know, Reggie, we love Reggie. We thought it was, you know, terrible with everything that went down. And it's just, you know, and especially, okay, why, you know, why now? Why, what happened? I mean, I haven't really heard anything. Have you, Zach?
Well, it's because they had to wait like 10 years with like some of the guidelines, and that was finally up. So now they were allowed to get that decision after 10 years. if they would associate with him again or not. And the university, to their credit, said, all right, that 10-year period is over, so now we're going to associate with him again. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah. See, I haven't been too up to it. I caught it on Instagram, and then you text me, and I was like, man, it's a beautiful day. And the sun came out in Seattle. It was meant to be.
And you know what also is dumb about this? It's like when an infraction occurs, you know, he had to give back his Heisman, and hopefully he gets that back like you were talking about. And you won a national championship, and they try to tell you now that you're not a national champion. That has to annoy you, right?
I mean, no, because everybody saw what went down on that field. And actually, you know, okay, let's get serious. Reggie, you know, he helped carry us that whole season. But I don't think he scored it. That was the only game I think he didn't score a touchdown. So you give us that Oklahoma game. Don't take that away from us.
I didn't think it mattered who you were playing with that day. You guys crushed Oklahoma, if memory serves me right.
Yeah. I mean, I still got some you know, War Eagles, some Auburn Tigers that they still like to remind me that they finished undefeated. But we went to their house just 12 months prior, and we blanked them, like 23-0. So I don't know if no one really wanted to see that game anyways.
Do you wish that you were a part of the system now with the college football playoff where they put the four teams in and then you find out who the champion is and there's really no controversy there? Like, sometimes people complain about who like the fourth seed should have been, but for the most part, we view that as an authentic champion.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think any true competitor, they want to know that they beat everybody that was put in front of them, that they could have seen. And so, like, we would have loved to play Auburn. And then even you think back to the years where it was really competitive, Boise State and what Chris Peterson was able to do with those teams, they've knocked off some big teams, TCU and Patterson. I mean, and all they had players go on to the NFL, both, you know, programs, and do very well. So it's not even to say that if there was an 8 or 12 team playoff that they wouldn't have won, you know, it's all about matchups. And so, you know, they did a great job of exploiting matchups and winning games. So I would love to see more matchups. And, I mean, every other college division, 1AA, you know, 2 and 3, they have the playoff system. So I think it's just a matter of time before it comes to Division I.
Lofa Tatupu here with us on the show. When you would go up against Reggie Bush in practice, what was that like? Take me through your practices.
Easiest running back to cover in my life. I mean, you saw what he did in the NFL. He exploited that. We had corners that were having a tough time sticking with him. But the one thing is, you go in, day out. I mean, you know, I didn't back down from any challenge. We had a ton of great running backs. But I would always try to go against Reggie because I knew if I could even come close to cover him, which I did, we went back and forth. He did win the majority of the battles. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But it wasn't so much the I could stay with him on that first step, even the second. His third and fourth and acceleration was like a 5-yard gap that he would open up. So it was really taught me to zone in on my skills, so to speak, and be at the best of my game. And that really translated because now when I went to the NFL, even though I was one of the slower linebackers, I had to start covering man coverage, and it's all about technique at that point.
So there was no thought in your mind of maybe some fear, and hey, it's tough enough to catch him, but like, this is Reggie Bush. I would have thought that he would have been treated like a quarterback, kind of, with his importance to the team and how you really don't want to hit him at all.
Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal because you couldn't catch him. So
yeah, I guess it's easy.
No, but yeah, it was thud contact. So, you know, you hit him, you wrap up, but you let go. And I mean, I probably in my 3 years of playing with Reggie, maybe got like one good hit on him. It was a swing pass, and it was just me and him. And I was like, yeah, every other time that I've like throttled down and try to stay with him, just, you know, make the tackle, I've missed, you know. So I just kept running, and I think, you know, we caught each other off guard, like, oh, wow, what just happened? And he threw the ball at me. So, I mean, I guess I made the tackle.
Lofa Tatupu here with us on the show. Playing for Pete Carroll, you got a chance to play for him, obviously, in college, and then 1 year, I believe, in the National Football League as well. How do you compare playing for him in college and then that year that he got to coach you up in the pros?
There was no difference, and that was good to see, you know, that what he preached, what he believed in terms of his philosophy, he brought it straight to the NFL, and he proved that, you know, he could be successful with it. He's had a dominant decade here with John, and a lot of these stars that he drafted here, which is important. They've had some great drafts, but his coaching style didn't change. His philosophy didn't change. He brought it up here, and he proved that it could work, because I know in previous, you know, with the Jets and the Patriots, you know, he had been given the, he's a coach's player. And he still is. He is who he is, but I think he's true to himself here and maybe didn't have as much say where he was in years past.
When you got a chance to work with him, to go from playing to then working with him, because you were an assistant linebacker coach in Seattle for 2 years, what did you take when he kind of took you under his wing and helped you in the coaching world as you were going through that phase?
Just exactly what he says. You know, the way he wants you to compete on the field every second of every down, that's what he's doing behind the scenes, and that's what all of his coaches are doing. And you know, I was blessed to work with a lot of great coaches there, learned from them too, and they all, there's a, you know, a relentless, you know, hunger to continually get better every second of every day. And that, the trickle-down effect of the players, it, you know, it's contagious.
So you're a Seahawk. You played there from 2005 to 2010, went to a few Pro Bowls, then got to coach. That first year coaching, I think, was the year after the whole Super Bowl situation up against the Pats. What was the locker room like, you know, being a coach, you know, getting back into that locker room after what happened the year before that?
Well, I was in the coach's locker room, so I don't I don't know exactly what the attitude of the locker room was, but guys came out, they competed, and, you know, just like, you know, they're all a bunch of competitors. And, you know, a lot of teams would have had a real tough time rebounding from, you know, I mean, we did when I went to the Super Bowl in 05, you know, we lost, and coming back, that's, never mind that you're playing a month longer than everybody and that, you know, you don't have time to, you know, nurse the injuries, you know, the way everybody else is. You don't have that time on your hands. And you go right into an off season, and now you're going into a year where, you know, the target is firmly on your back in terms of other teams giving you their best shot. I mean, they're coming after you because they know, hey, you've been to, especially in their case, the Super Bowl 2 years in a row and deep in the playoffs, you know, 2 years prior to that. So, you know, that's just the pressure that, you know, you continually get when you're at the top of your game. And I think they've done a marvelous job with responding.
And you know, with what's going on in our country with COVID, and then we've seen what happened the last two and a half weeks after the murder of George Floyd, the conversation about Colin Kaepernick comes back up, and how the national anthem is going to be approached in the fall. And the league came out and said they were wrong for not listening, and they encouraged players to peacefully protest. Being on the coaching side in 2016, when, you know, in your division, you saw Colin Kaepernick first take that knee. What do you recall from that, and what do you remember thinking in that moment back in 2016?
Honestly, just full transparency, I thought it was incredible what he was doing. Me being 4 years younger and not having the right perspective that I think a lot of people are finding right now, I was questioning. I go, well, where did this come from, and was it too little too late in terms of when he was a starter, we didn't see it? And I was wrong. And anybody that has that mindset or perspective, you're wrong. It's never too late. And I hope that's what we're hoping for our future and for our kids and going forward, is that there's more people willing to take a knee like Colin did. And, you know, I'd love to see him get another chance. It's, you know, he's got the talent. I did a podcast, a couple interviews the other day. There's 64 quarterbacks. You can't tell me that they're all better than Cap. But now the problem is, right, okay, you bring him in. The one position that we don't ever get to see true competition at is quarterback. It seems like teams have their guy, and they never want to bring in, you know, another competitor, in my opinion, to, you know, because you don't want your starting quarterback, your star quarterback who you're probably paying the most money to ever be looking over the shoulder like, oh, man, I could get replaced. And you know Cap's not coming in to sit, man.
I agree with you. Talking to Lofa Tatupu here for a few more minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Let me go back to USC. So you got to play with Matt Leinart. With Matt, I thought he was going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL, and we know it didn't work out. How do you look back on his career, and how surprised were you that he wasn't as successful as many people thought he would be in the league?
Well, it's perspective, right? Matt played with me, first of all. Thank you very much. But no, it's you know, again, perspective, what we're talking about. Matt had a very good start to his career, and then He got the collarbone injury, and then Kurt Warner takes the team to the Super Bowl. Now, is that Matt's fault? No. And opportunities are few and far between in this league. So I wouldn't ever say that any of my friends that made it to the league were did not have the careers that, you know, that's the game, man. I was at the top of my game for 3 years, and then boom, injury after injury. It just happens. And you just got to go the best you can. And that's my quarterback. You know, watch out. Don't think bad about my quarterback.
Yeah. Now you sound like T.O. That's my quarterback. when you have that success like you had, and then you talk about the injuries, how did you mentally deal with that when you're basically being told and your body's telling you, hey, your career is coming to a close and something that you love doing is coming to a close as well?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough, right? Because I'm a guy that I needed every ounce of energy and I needed no injuries to do what I was doing, because I wasn't the biggest, strongest, or fastest, you know? And so when, my heart goes out to some of these guys like Kuechly and Andrew Luck and all these guys that have retired early, you know, I commend them on doing so, but thinking about their futures. But also, it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking knowing that, you know, you are willing and you want to, but your off season now consists of rehab while everybody's getting ready. They're getting stronger, they're getting bigger, they're getting faster, they're getting their edge. You are getting slower, your muscles are atrophying because they're not getting worked out as well as they should be in a full range of motion. You're going through rehab, you know, from a surgery. And so it was tough, man. I had surgeries after, I think, my second and third year. And, you know, luckily I was able to still produce at a high level. But it's really tough to come to terms with that.
Wrapping up at Love with the Tupu here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Your Seahawks this year, I think they're going to have a very good year. In the simulation we're doing, I have them going 12-4. They're in a very tough division. I look at that defense. Do you think that we know the? I think the offense is more than fine. Do you think that defense is ready to take that next step and get that team back to Super Bowl caliber?
I think so, absolutely. We really got that depth across that D line that they had in 2013 and 14 when they made those Super Bowl runs. Added Mayawa and Irvin, two familiar, you know, faces to, and they both had about 6 or 7 sacks apiece last year. Very productive still. Hopefully I'm still holding out hope for Clowney. I mean, that guy is amazing. We drafted, you know, a young linebacker for some, you know, some depth. Hopefully, I think he might start. He looks somewhere in the mold of what Kendricks was doing for the Hawks, but then he's got to fight off Cody Barton. So, and then the secondary, very excited about that, you know, added some great pieces and just watch it come together. And that's the one thing that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Not having this offseason, that's where you build the rapport and the chemistry as a team. So especially for these rookies, I know how important it was for me to learn the playbook, especially when I was calling the plays. So it'll be interesting to see if we see many rookies play across the league and, you know, how impactful they are. Other than that, I see the Hawks winning this division. San Fran, it's tough. I'm telling you, like I said, after losing the Super Bowl, to make your way back. And then, watch out for the Cardinals, though, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to be.
Murray.
Yeah. Oh, and then you get Hopkins, too.
I forgot about Hopkins.
And you stole Hopkins. You know, it's crazy how they got Hopkins from the Texans.
Yeah, and they still got Kenyon Drake, too, right?
Yep, they do. So,
man,
it's going to be a fun offense. You just look at that defense. You don't know what's going to happen with that defense. All right, let me ask you these two questions before we let Lofoot the Tupu run. And I always love when he joins us on the show. So I did this whole simulation. I went week by week and gave my picks. And then I've turned it over to guests to make these picks in the postseason. So I've lost all control of the postseason. The NFC Championship game that we have right now is the Saints at the 49ers. If you had to pick one, do you go with the Saints or the 49ers getting a W?
Where is it at?
In San Francisco, at the 49ers.
Oh, I mean, that's, you know, away from that dome, you know, it's a different team, right? So, first of all, I'm a little upset that the Hawks aren't in there. If you got them winning the division going 12-4.
Actually, I have them coming in second. I have San Francisco winning division at 13-3.
Wow.
But you could blame Qadre Ismail because he took the Seahawks losing to the 49ers last night. So blame him, not me.
Okay. Well, if I got to pick one, I'm going to go with the home team. And, you know, just purely from the standpoint that when the Saints, I mean, you know, we had a losing record of 7-9 in 2010. And
yeah.
We beat the Saints.
the beast mode game.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm going to have to take the Niners on that one, even though it kills me to take the Niners.
When you see the beast mode play happen, as a linebacker, how do you react to that when you're on the sideline watching that go down?
Honestly, I had to catch on a replay. I had just suffered a concussion with Julius Jones and a head-on collision, like, I want to say, a series before. So all I remember literally was the crowd erupting, and I'm just like, yo, what's going on? And then I turn around, and I see on the Jumbotron, Beast, leaping into the end zone. And so I was like, you know, I knew where I was. I knew it was at a football game. But I was like, oh, man, that's cool.
So when you see the replay, do you even think it was real?
One of the greatest runs we'll ever see. He had a similar run on a Monday or Sunday night in Arizona, and it's just you saw with every yard he gained more belief that you can't take me down, and it was awesome to watch that one, and then even the Arizona one that he had eerily similar, just up the right sideline in about 70 yards.
Now, I know he doesn't like talking to the media, but did you like playing with him? Did you like him as a teammate?
One of the greatest teammates you'll ever have. I don't know what it is with the media, but, it's unfortunate because he's one of, he gives the greatest sound bites, you won't find someone that said he was a bad teammate. It's just not true.
All right, last one for you in the simulation on the AFC side. Now, this one is actually important because the NFC one is left up to a fan vote. This one you actually get to decide. So you get to pick who goes to the Super Bowl in the AFC. The matchup that we have for you, Ravens at the Chiefs. Do you go Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes winning this game?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. It's hard to repeat. So I'm gonna go Baltimore. A team, I'm surprised Tennessee wasn't up there. They had a really strong year with Henry. But, yeah, Lamar, both those quarterbacks are unbelievable to watch. It almost gives you, like, that feeling of watching Michael Vick in college. I mean, you remember how electrifying – I don't know if you were old enough to see that, but, I mean, every time he touched the ball, dropped back, it was like, okay, this is potential to go for six, kind of like my boy Reggie. So, love watching those guys play. I'm going with Baltimore. I think their defense would get it done.
All right, last one for you, Lofa. Zonin CBD. I always know you're the co-founder of that, and we talk about it every time you come on the show. Tell me the latest.
Man, we've been going strong. We're not going to let COVID or anything stop us. We're going to keep helping people because that's our mission at heart. Speaking of which, today we gave another check to Food Lifeline, which goes for meals for families in need. So that brings us to, I think, roughly 82 or 83,000 meals donated over the last 2.5 months, and just trying to, continue to do good and help people. So, with every purchase, a donation goes to Food Lifeline and helps just trying to help out the community, man.
Well, keep up the great work. You always know we enjoy chatting with you. We'll get you on again soon. Thanks so much, Lofa. Be safe.
Yeah, appreciate you too. Stay blessed.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.